Next up is Inside Finance. Inside Finance is a special feature of this program every week where we discuss in depth the financial and economic challenges of our time and explore possible solutions. Here is your host this week, Stanford Simon.
Pleasant good day to you wherever you are throughout the length and breadth of Grenada, Caracou, Pity, Martinique. This is Inside Finance. I am Stanford Simon, and as promised, Mr. Timothy Antoine is with me in the studio today. He kept his word. He's here. He's a man of his word. He's keeping his word, and I'm very happy. I'm very happy also the Ministry of Finance is keeping their word with us every week. They are coming, sending somebody, being here with us to talk about issues pertaining to what's happening with our country and the structural adjustment that we're having in terms of looking at the homegrown program, and very good. Mr. Timothy Antoine, who is the Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Finance, he is here with me. We will take a word from our sponsors. We come back and I'll start my discussion with him. Again, questions I had left over from last week, I will be asking him. All our listeners and supporters of the SGBC radio programs, you can now download the SGBC app on your Android phone. Go to the Play Store and get involved. Listen to some great music, great preaching, summonet, testimonies. Great thing is happening at the SGBCGrenada.com, and the app is available to you. Go download it from the Play Store to your Android phone. SGBC. It is available to you, an app that you can use wherever you are. Music will be available to you wherever you are now. You do not have to wonder, where is the radio? Download it on your Android phone and carry it with you wherever you go. The SGBC app is available to you in the Play Store. Welcome back, folks. I am Stanford Simon. As I said, with me in the studio is Mr. Timothy Antoine, Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Finance. Good day to you again, Mr. Timothy.
Good day, Pastor Simon, and good day to all our viewers, home and abroad.
Thank you for keeping your word.
I should say listeners rather than viewers, although these days we're not sure what medium people are getting the program on.
Well, that's true.
Yes.
That's true. And thank you for keeping your word and being here again.
My pleasure.
All right. Now, one of the questions I had to ask you last week, and I'm sure dealing with the issues, I understand that Cabinet has approved the guidance notes for salary negotiations in statutory bodies. What more can you tell us? Because the statutory bodies in some way have been doing their own salary scale, doing their own thing for many, many years. I guess government see it as important now to harmonize that as everything else. Talk to us about it.
Yes. So under the homegrown program, we have committed ourselves, not forced by anybody, I want to be clear on this, we've committed ourselves to provide stronger oversight of statutory bodies. And in March of this year, the Prime Minister issued a letter of expectations to statutory bodies, providing clarity on what the government expects of statutory bodies. It's one thing to say you expect something, but it's another to actually tell them what it is you expect. Mm-hmm. So the letter of expectations dealt with that. He also, in that communication, attached reporting templates as well as performance monitoring guidelines. And he issued that, the Prime Minister and Minister of Finance, after meeting with the statutory bodies on the 10th of March of this year, 2015. Subsequent to that, we've now, one of the things that came out very early is, they need to consult with government on salary negotiations. But we need to give some further guidance on that. So we have been working on guidance notes for the statutory bodies. And Cabinet has now approved those guidance notes. And we have now issued those guidance notes to the statutory bodies. And that now will give them a lot more clarity, a clear framework to guide both current and future salary negotiations. Okay. And I can go on if you wish, but the key principles,
the key principles
with the guidance notes are: one, fiscal sustainability, and two, transparency. Whatever we're doing, we have to make sure it's sustainable. That is true for government, and it has to be true for the wider government, which is statutory bodies. Because if you think about it, statutory bodies are an extension of government. Mm-hmm. They're the public sector. So when you combine central government and statutory bodies, you get a public sector. And therefore, the principles of fiscal sustainability and transparency. So it's not just government subjecting itself to being more transparent, including what we do on Inside Finance, which is opening up ourselves and making ourselves more accountable to the people. But that has to hold and that has to move right through the government system and through the public sector. So just as the government has to be more accountable, so too the statutory bodies are. And one of the ways you get accountability is to become more transparent. So we we're providing specific guidance on that. And I can go now, if you wish, into some of the specific guidance notes.
Well, I mean, not a time for that. If ever later on we can do that. But one other question I want to follow up with that. Will these guidance notes apply to all statutory bodies across the country?
Yes. In a word, yes. They will apply to all statutory bodies. Of course, not all statutory bodies are the same. Some are profit-making. Some are not. Some are commercial. So, for example, TAMCC is a statutory body. TAMCC does not make any profits. TAMCC gets most of its money from government via subvention. It provides a service, which is tertiary education or post-secondary education. That's, you know, so there are some, when we talk about profit sharing and the principles of profit sharing and dividends, that will not apply to TAMCC because they're not making any profit. Therefore, they cannot give any dividends. But Ports Authority may be making profit. Airports Authority be making profit, and therefore they should pay dividends. So it applies to all statutory bodies as applicable, because in some cases, some things may not apply. The Child Welfare Authority, for example, it's a service. The government gives it a subvention. That's how it operates. So not everything will apply, but many things will apply, and it is intended to be used across the statutory bodies.
So then it leads me to ask this question. Is government imposing a wage freeze on statutory bodies, seeing that you are doing all of this?
That's a good question, and that's a fear that some statutory bodies have. So let me address that very frontally. The answer is no. Government is not imposing a wage freeze on statutory bodies, except where statutory bodies are wholly dependent on government for subvention. So, the government has a wage freeze in place right now, 2014, 2015, 2016. A statutory body like TAMCC or like Child Welfare Authority that are completely dependent on government for their revenue, for their income, to meet their expenses, cannot go and give salary increases when central government is not awarding salary increases. That will make no sense. That will just be inconsistent. If you are dependent on the same source that is not in a position to give salary increases to its workers, how could you give to yours? So wage freeze applies to statutory bodies which are wholly dependent or fully dependent on government for subventions. But there are statutory bodies that do not get subventions or get very limited subventions. So wherever you get in a subvention, the wage freeze will apply. Where you're not getting subvention, there will be no wage freeze. There will be negotiations, and those will be, of course, be guided by certain things which we've provided for in the notes.
And that leads me to ask, so if statutory bodies who are making profit want to increase their salary, you were saying there is no need for them to talk to government, or they should advise government before they do a salary increase?
They must speak with government. They are accountable to somebody. The shareholder, which is government, which, by the way, is the people of Grenada, because the government of Grenada represent the people of Grenada. So the second note in the guidance note says all salary proposals must first be discussed with the Ministry of Finance before finalization. We cannot have a situation where, as we've had in the past years, Pastor Simon, people agree to increases and then they can't pay them. And then they come to the government and tell, give us money to pay. That's madness. And that madness cannot continue. So you have to consult. That does not mean that the government is taking over the negotiations, but we are providing clear guidance for those negotiations. And as a shareholder, that is the right of the government so to do.
So I think at this point, it'd be good for you now to give us some information on the guidance notes. I think it'd be helpful at least to help people to understand what are some of the things now that statutory bodies are guided by, seeing that you have given us some explanations.
Right. So we say on the guidance note number 4, for example, all salary negotiations must consider the following principles and parameters. Growth in salaries and benefits should not outstrip growth in revenues. In other words, you can't have a situation where your expenditure are going faster than your revenues, because that is unsustainable. You're a boss. You end up in trouble. Any business, any household, government, your expenditure must not grow faster than your revenues. So that's the first issue. Second, you have to make adequate provision for pensions. It's a very important issue. We must make sure the statutory bodies have made provision for pensions. We cannot have a situation where provisions are not made. You spend the money in all sorts of ways, including raising salaries, spending it on nice things, cars, vehicles, whatever, whatever. And it turns out that you don't have pension. You can't pay the people pension. When you can't pay the people's pension, who are you going to come to? Or who are the people going to come to? Government. So we are saying, be responsible, make provision for pensions. We need to protect our workers, and we need to make sure that after they work very hard and they look for their pension, the pension must be there. So that's a second one. Third, make provision for capital needs. This is a very overlooked or underestimated issue in many statutory bodies and business in general. For a business to grow, you have to invest in the business. If you gravel on concrete, for you to grow, you have to invest in equipment. If you don't invest in equipment and you have breakdowns and you don't have equipment, you can't do business. You can't deliver supply because your equipment is not working. That is true for many statutory bodies where not enough attention is paid to investing in equipment. Take the Post Authority. They need to get a rig stacker because that is important for efficiency in terms of clearing containers and destuffing and moving so that ships could come in quickly, have their containers removed, offloaded, so that they could go on their way. That's an efficiency issue. If you don't have the right equipment at the Post Authority, then you're going to hurt the country and your ability to earn revenue and you're doing business ranking and so on. So again, we are saying to statutory bodies, you must make provision for capital needs. Take Nawassa, for example. We're going to have some new hotels in the south. Nawassa has to make provision to expand the water storage capacity in the country and to make sure not just for us existing customers so that we have water in the dry season, but for new customers. But that is important for Nawassa because to the extent that Nawassa gets new and additional customers, more revenues come in, which ultimately means it is better able to help its workers and, of course, to give the government a dividend. But it has to invest to do that. So we really want them to focus on capital needs. Too many of our statutory bodies are not growing faster because they have not invested in capital, and they tell you they have no money to invest in capital. That's a problem. We have to look at inflation. Very often times, people talk about what they want as a salary increase. But what is the actual cost? What is inflation, the cost of living? You have to look at that. Because obviously, to the extent possible, you want workers to be able to meet rising cost of living. So you want to make sure that salaries are adjusted where possible to keep in line with inflation. And then you also want to look at the ability to pay. What can the statutory body pay? When you take account of the growth in revenues versus expenditure, pension, capital needs, look at inflation, bottom line, what can they afford to pay? All of those are things that have to be considered now as the statutory bodies go forward. And I think, anybody who looks at these things or reviews them will say that they're very reasonable and they're appropriate parameters to guide salary negotiations.
And that lead me to this question. Have you then met with the statutory bodies, the government, and trade union on this matter? These are very fundamental changes to going forward and seeing the business as is and to be able to help the business to grow. Have you met with them and talked to them about this issue?
Yes, good question. We have met with the trade unions. I met the trade unions in May to discuss these issues and their concerns. And in fact, when we went to the cabinet, we were able to share with the cabinet some of the concerns and suggestions by the trade unions. So I met the trade union council and all the major public sector unions. That would include Public Workers Union, Technical and Allied Workers, Grenadier Union of Teachers, Bank and General even, and there may be other commercial and industrial workers union. We met with pretty much all the unions, or certainly the major ones, to just discuss this, because you're right, it is a fundamental change in the way we do business, and we wanted to engage them on that. Now, the major concerns the unions have, well, they have several. One is that they're concerned about whether or not we impose a wage freeze, and I've addressed that. We are not imposing a wage freeze, save and except for where there's subventions. Secondly, they are concerned about delays in settling or finalizing negotiations, because some of them have been involved in negotiations for a period of time, in some cases years, and some of them are late, whether it's the fault of the statutory body, the union, or both. So they are concerned now that it appears that if there are going to be further delays with settling. And they've asked us, for example, to not have the guidance note take effect until after the negotiations, the current negotiations are finished. Unfortunately, we cannot agree to that, because you have to look at the situation right now. And I mean, if the situation needs to be addressed, it has to be addressed. Delaying it is just basically making the situation worse. So no responsible government could agree to that. What we can agree to do is to speed it up. And with the guidance notes, we are asking the statutory bodies to speed it up with the guidance in hand. So, we have met with them. But I should also say that to your question as well, we are now arranging meetings with individual statutory bodies. So Cabinet has directed that statutory bodies be met individually with the line minister and the Ministry of Finance. And that's important, because while the Ministry of Finance is obviously leading a lot of these efforts, it's very important that the line ministers are fully aware. Of course, they are aware, I'm sitting in the Cabinet, but that they're also giving directives consistent with guidance notes. Because let's face it, you have occasions sometimes when ministers are maybe giving directions or directives which may not be consistent with what the Ministry of Finance is giving. And we want to minimize that by making it clear to everybody. So Cabinet has directed that the ministers meet with, the line ministers meet with, and by line ministers, I simply mean the minister responsible for the statutory body. So whether it is Lotto, or whether it is the Cultural Foundation, or whether it is the Ports Authority, whoever is the minister responsible must meet that statutory body with the Minister of Finance and go through the guidelines and make sure everybody's clear.
Very good. I think it's clearer, and I'm happy that I understand clearly why that is necessary and help us to go forward. I'm speaking to Mr. Timothy Antwine, Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Finance. I am Stanford Simon. We take a word from our sponsors. We come back and continue the discussion here. I'm still talking statutory bodies, and to understand what is happening, we want to know what is happening with stronger oversight of government and how will that work in the future. We take a word. We will be right back.
One call does it all. All your basic construction needs. Backhoe, compressor, bobcat, and acrobrop services. Make one call. One call does it all. 443-2894 or 409-1533. For bobcat, backhoe, compressor, or acrobrop services, call One Call Construction Services. 443-2894 or 409-1533. Make it one call.
Welcome back. This is Inside Finance. I am Stanford Simon. With me in the studio is Mr. Timothy Antwine, Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Finance, and really looking at statutory bodies and how best can they serve the people of Grenada and government giving oversight to them. Now, Mr. Timothy, why is strong oversight of statutory bodies necessary? Why is that necessary? Even at this point, why is it so necessary?
Well, a chain is strong as its weakest link. A chain is as strong as its weakest link. If the government does all that we're doing with the homegrown program, fiscal responsibility, monitoring committee, and all of the steps we've taken to improve the fiscal situation, and we ignore the subsidiaries, which are the statutory bodies, then the time will come when the statutory bodies will crash the government. You see? Because things will happen there which will end up costing the government and ultimately undermining the achievements we've made. So when people ask, what are we doing to safeguard the gains of the homegrown program and ensure that we minimize the risk of us having to do this again in the foreseeable future? That is one example. So we've talked about, you know, telling the nation what we're doing as we're doing it. Making it plain, making it clear, making it simple. So this is Inside Finance, just sharing with people as we go along. Transparency. Monitoring. So we have the Homegrown Monitoring Committee that checks every month on what it is that we're doing on the Homegrown program. We've just passed a fiscal responsibility law to make sure that the government lives within its means. Even after the Homegrown program is over, there will be not just wild spending and recklessness and then we're in trouble in terms of the public finances. But that is not all. It's really comprehensive. Statutory bodies have to be looked after. If we don't look after the statutory bodies, they are going to undermine central government. And I must tell you, in a number of countries, in Barbados and even further afield, statutory bodies are now proven to be a major issue, a ticking time bomb, literally. And countries have ignored those and ended up in big trouble. Because some of them have gotten big and unwieldy and inefficient. They have a lot of pension liabilities that are not funded. Just a number of issues. So the idea of stronger oversight is to make sure that the government holds them accountable in the same way that the government is itself being held accountable by the nation and through the various mechanisms that I just mentioned, the fiscal responsibility law, the monitoring committee, and the inside finance, and a range of other things, the social partners, all of these are aimed at holding the government more accountable. And you start by making yourself more transparent, disclosing, opening up the books, open up yourself to questioning, making sure people understand what is going on, and have a say and a voice in actually how things are done. So the statutory bodies cannot escape. Like everything else, change doesn't come easy for some. And therefore, there are those who have been doing their own thing for a long time and would like to continue doing their own thing. I'm afraid that is not possible. And therefore, they will have to adjust in the same way that all of us in the government have had to adjust to the new realities of a more transparent and accountable public sector. And I mean, no, not just central government, but statutory bodies.
Mm. That leads me to, as you were speaking, I was thinking, within 3 years, there will be an election. If the government changed, what happened? The new government will come in. Will they continue on the part of doing this restructuring, or that would most of this would be finished within the 3 years?
My expectation is that whoever forms the next government at the time after the next elections will be guided by these reforms, and I feel confident that they will be, not because of what I think or would like, but because I think the nation will hold them accountable. Whoever is in government, these changes are about Grenada and Grenadians. It's not about politicians. Politicians serve Grenada and Grenadians. So when we put these things in place, the onus is on the people of Grenada to ensure that they are maintained. Because if they are not maintained, who will be called upon to make sacrifices in the future? The people of Grenada. So it is in the interest of the people of Grenada, we the people, all of us, to ensure that successive governments comply with the fiscal responsibility law, comply with the new fiscal prudence and arrangements that we have in place, does not go and blow the public service and create, you know, problems where we can't pay salaries, manages the debt well, ensure that statutory bodies do what they're required to do, they're accountable, they're transparent, they're efficient. Those are things that ultimately redound to the benefit of the people of Grenada. And therefore, it is for the people of Grenada to ensure that successive governments adhere and are guided by whatever new arrangements we've come up with together. And homegrown by definition means it is us, we the people, developing these institutions and framework for ourselves. And that is true of the national plan as well. You fashion a plan in your image and likeness as a nation to guide you and to provide a framework, a roadmap, a pathway for development of the country, not just for yourself, but your children and grandchildren. The price of freedom is eternal vigilance. And it will be up to the people of Grenada, long after you and I are no longer directly involved in these matters, for them to hold the government accountable and ensure that we're doing the right things. And I believe we will. I think a lot of learning is going on in this process and in this period. And I am confident that we will. But we must not be complacent. And I will raise my voice whenever necessary to remind the nation that we must do what we must do. Learn from this experience and ensure that going forward, we adopt best practices. We've done some really good things. And I must tell you, as I travel around, there's a lot of admiration for what Grenada is doing. I don't think we have a clue in Grenada of how much people admire the fact that it took courage for us to take some tough decisions. Not all of them are popular. They're sacrifices. A lot of us are paying more taxes. That's not easy. But we're doing the right things. And people respect you for that. And that's why I think we're getting a lot of help as well.
Mm. Well, with all that we have said and discussed, what happened next with all of this? We have said a lot, and within the last 2 weeks, you have said a lot to us and today about the statutory bodies. What next? Where do we go from here?
We continue to develop our country. There's a real sense of momentum gathering about the growth of Grenada and the economy. We see the numbers, and we see it sometimes before people feel it. But even in the area of construction, which is a very important barometer of economic activity, construction is up. And therefore, where do we go from next is that we continue to build the country. What we're doing in the Ministry of Finance and in government are important policy environments to encourage growth and to sustain growth. And then on top of that, and that helps with investor confidence. But then what comes next is investments by the private sector, by the public sector to grow the economy. By the diaspora, who will come back home and want to invest because they believe in what is happening and they see a brighter future. So I am confident that the situation, based on the numbers that I've seen, the economic activity is growing, is rising. Economic growth is increasing. And really what we want to do is to see it grow even faster because we want employment to fall even faster. And we just have to stay on track. We just have to stay on track. Keep doing what we're doing. Continue with the program. Keep people informed. Take advice and feedback as we go along. And make sure at the end of the day that we meet the commitments that we set ourselves. Because it is serving, it will serve, it is serving and will serve our country very well. And that's my basically where I see it from. And that's what I want us to continue to do.
I really want to say how much I appreciate, Mr. Timothy, you sitting on and talking with us. You explain things very well, and I'm sure the listeners or the Grenadians who are listening, I think they're an appreciation for the Ministry of Finance because you have never done this before as a ministry in explaining yourself to the nation every week. This is the first time that you're doing this, and it's very, even for me, I've learned so much, and I want to say thanks to the Prime Minister for allowing it, and thanks to you for guiding this and getting the personnel every week to ensure that they come here to sit. If they cannot, you make sure that you're here to talk to us about what's happening. Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome, and when we started the homegrown program, even before we started, and we went around and we engaged our partners, I gave a commitment to keep the nation informed, and I take that personal. As far as I'm concerned, I have a personal and professional commitment to do that. We've always done things in the Ministry of Finance to share information, but this homegrown is like no other. We've never done what we've done now. The way the program is designed, how it is designed, how we're monitoring it, that has never been done before in Grenada. Mm. And therefore, we've had to step up in many respects, and sharing information such as Inside Finance is one new, if you like, innovation. And I personally am very committed to doing that. So thank you for your support, because in partnership with us, I think we are helping people to better understand the country and the finances of our country.
Thank you so much for joining me here on Inside Finance.
Most welcome. God bless.
All right, folks, you've been listening to the man himself, the permanent secretary in the Ministry of Finance, Mr. Timothy Antwine. 2 weeks of him, and not sure he will send to us next week, but we're still asking him to send the Prime Minister. He've yet to get him to come. And if the Prime Minister listening, asking, we are waiting patiently. We are waiting patiently to come inside Finance. I know you're afraid of the question, all right?
Well, Pastor Simon, let me just say to you and the nation, the Prime Minister has committed to come. We just need to schedule it. And we hope to do that when he's back from his next round of travels, because he has some traveling to do. very soon. But once he's back, we expect him to come.
All right, we hold him to that. He looked like within the next 2 months. You don't say that within the next month, within the next 2 months, the Prime Minister will be here on Inside Finance. Thank you so much. And listeners, thank you. No, it's really a joy to have him here, and I look forward to it anyway. And I wish the government well. We'll continue to do our best to share information with you. I am Pastor Stanford Simon. Thank you for joining me here on Inside Finance. Go to our website, sgbcgrenada.com, on the Inside, on the Encounter interview. The interview is there, Inside Finance and others, and also on the Ministry of Finance website. It is also there. What's the Ministry of Finance website?
It's the website is finance.gd. Mm-hmm. We're going to launch it soon. But in the meantime, you can always go to gov.gd and get the information. And you can ask questions, financegrenada@gmail.com. We really want to hear the questions because we want to answer them.
Right. And you can send a question also to me at stanfordsimon01@gmail.com. It would be a joy to hear from you. Thank you, folks. Next week, join us at the same time. We'll do it all over again. Not too sure who I'll have, but I look forward to having someone here on Inside Finance. I'm Pastor Stanford Simon, wishing you a blessed week. Thank you again.
You have been listening to another edition of Inside Finance, a program that explores the financial and economic challenges of our time. Join us next week for another edition.